This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 789. Hey, thanks for listening. Make sure that you are checking us out at markingout.com, and also make sure that you are subscribed wherever you are listening to podcasts, just like on Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Buy a t-shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook, follow on Twitter at Marking Out, on Instagram at Marking Out 11, and on TikTok at Marking Out. And in addition to all of that, you can follow me, Dave the Rave, on all social media platforms at David PT DPT. You can follow Chris at CMSweeney85 on Instagram and Chris Sweendog on Twitter. And you can follow Brandon at BTTG161. That being said, Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. How was your week?
It was a quick one again. I didn't do anything. Not much. Just getting super nice. Freaking pissed off, I will say, at WWE 2K26 again, over and over again.
Oh, what else is new?
And it's super annoying because there's certain things that I can't do in the game because I have arthritis. So I've been messaging them, and they're like, well, it's meant to be like this. And I'm like, this is garbage. They have
a submission. Wait, what do you mean you can't do because of arthritis?
There's a mini game. When you do submission match, cage match, inferno match, casket match, dumpster match, a mini game pops up. And if you're playing outside of my faction, you can hold the button and just go to the corresponding button to fill the meter. In my faction, they changed it this year to make it so you have to button mash. You have to rapidly press. You can't just hold the button.
Oh, jeez. I don't want to button mash.
And I can't do that. And then they just updated the game today to patch in the fact there's a third option, a wheel option, that you could, like, fill a meter or whatever. I can't do that one either. So for whatever reason, it's too easy. You can't play the game too easy.
I don't know if that's discrimination.
I don't know if that's a lawsuit that's viable or what, but I'm going to tweet them every single day. Hopefully, if I remember.
Get it going.
It's truly.
Gotta tweet them every day. And also garbage. Tweet Dave Meltzer and get us blocked every day.
I'm good. I don't even know why you mentioned Meltzer. I don't know why.
Because every day.
But how was your week?
It was good. Thanks for asking.
Dancing Irish jig this week?
Oh, you know it. In the clinic. That's it. Yeah.
I wish I had corned beef. I don't need the cabbage. I wish I had corned beef, though.
Oh, well, I did have corned beef and cabbage. Usually my mom will make that for dinner, so I went over there for some corned beef and cabbage, and that's always delicious. But yeah, we had Monday Night Raw kicking off with the crap that we were hoping wasn't going to be happening, but the masked men showed up again, and the weird scramble, like the Power Rangers, took place, and then Seth Rollins ended up in the middle of the ring, demasked himself, and cut a promo about everything that's taking place.
Yeah, he said that he created the Vision, and he'll be the one to kill the Vision. He's going to inject it. Paul Heyman showed up beyond disheveled. Seth, I don't know how he got one eye to be just pink. One pink eye. That was insane. Because the last time that he showed up like that, In storyline, he said that he actually didn't sleep for, what, like 3 days or so?
Yeah, once he showed up, I mean, you know that he'd put some real dedication into everything.
Yeah, so Seth Rollins said he's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that Paul Heyman is gone from the business. Paul Heyman then brings out in Did you think it was goofy the way he was like setting that up? F A F O F 5. Did you think that
it was a bit
over the top? Yeah. So he brings out Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar tears through all the Black and Brave students. At least I assume that's what they are. The lights then go out. Obafemi shows up. The fans are going absolutely nuts. It seemed, by the way, before Obafemi was coming out, seemed like WrestleMania might have been Brock versus Seth Rollins. But that was never really the plan. And Obafemi showed up. Like I said, the fans were going absolutely insane. Seth Rollins then distracted Brock Lesnar, and Brock turned right into the Fall from Grace.
It wasn't really a distraction. I mean, he was just distracted. I think Brock did that to himself, though, because it wasn't like a legit distraction. Like, it wasn't like an intentional distraction. Rollins was just standing there, and then it looked like Lesnar just got distracted, kind of taunt him out of the ring, and that was really it. The pop-up powerbomb.
In a perfect world,
that's
how WrestleMania ends with that match. I don't know if that's going to happen, but...
That was incredible. That entire segment, the pop for Oba.
Yeah.
This match, I'm sorry, Oba has to win. No?
I would hope so. I don't have faith in that, but it would be nice.
I don't have faith in it, but yes, it should definitely... We hope that that does happen, and it makes it exciting. But yeah, that segment was great, and Paul Heyman, his not shaving look is back and incredible. But next up, you had El Grande Americano pick up the victory over El Grande Americano Original. A lot taking place in this match, but
I very much
good.
So enjoyed it. Maybe I'm very invested in AAA, and that's why I enjoyed this so much. But
I think that, yeah, you're definitely more invested than me with AAA.
Original sent Americano outside with an overhead belly-to-belly and took out Los Americanos. And then Bravo got involved later on. He got taken out. Original locked Americano in the ankle lock. Americano gets to the rope. And then Rio distracted the referee. Bravo stuffed Americano's mask, so Original ends up knocking himself out on the diving headbutt. And that led to Americano getting the victory there. I did not think he was going to get that win there.
Mm-hmm. What did you think? He was going to miss?
Well, no, I thought that Original was going to get the victory there.
Ah.
But it seemed like maybe less people were booing this week for El Grande Americano?
Mm-hmm.
Completely different on NXT. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, it's wild how each audience treats this storyline or the wrestlers involved differently depending on the crowd. But next up, you had AJ Lee pick the victory over Bayley to retain her championship. Oof. Where do we start with this matchup? Because
I don't think this match could have been better than it was.
I agree with you on that.
And I enjoyed it for what it was.
I disagree with that.
I mean, I like the match
I
for what it
I
was.
I didn't enjoy it.
I think Bayley comes off looking... She's a veteran. She looks like the veteran in this match.
I mean, technically, AJ Lee is a veteran too, but
no,
does not
100% AJ Lee would be the veteran in this match, but I think Bayley... As far as like longevity and everything, Bayley's like top tier.
Agreed.
It's going to be very difficult for people to touch Bayley in the future. Be like, I mean, commentary kept running down on Rey de Reyes, future Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. Not to say AJ Lee isn't, but like, it's.
I mean, if you're going to put them side to side, I think that Bayley is more Hall of Fame worthy, but I definitely agree with everything that you're saying. But this matchup, I can't even say that it lived up to my I don't want to give it the credit that it lived up to my expectations, because I just didn't flat out like it. Bayley is a workhorse, You know, the way that she's able to carry the matches and stuff like that with anybody in the ring. You could put her with, she's like Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder. There's like a group of wrestlers that you know if you put them in the matchup with anybody, the matchup is going to at least be good and the other person's going to be protected and safe. And AJ Lee just is so slow. And it looks like she's like very thought productive in the ring where she's not going instinctively on her actions and everything. She's like thinking. And it just comes across as boring to me.
I liked Bailey reversing that Shining Wizard with the half crab. I liked
that. Was cool.
I like that it took three times for Bailey to hit the Bailey to belly.
Mm-hmm.
But AJ hit the Shining Wizard a bit after that, and Bailey missed the elbow drop. AJ locked in the Black Widow, got the victory.
Yeah, and I will say, I don't think that AJ is going to be a prolonged champion. I think that she can lose it at Mania.
Right, yeah, I mean, Becky Lynch attacked AJ Lee after that. That's 100% leading to WrestleMania. Becky Lynch has never beaten AJ Lee here, so
mm-hmm.
I think that's what we'll get. And then we saw Lyra Valkyria yell at Bayley saying that they'll get to WrestleMania together. The Kabuki Warrior showed up, and Asuka said that she would have beaten AJ Lee. And then Asuka also said that they're going for the tag team titles. They were like, let's go talk to Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
So we will, I don't know who will be in that match, but hopefully it's Lyra and Bayley walking out as champion.
Yeah.
Although, I wouldn't be disappointed if Nia Jax and Lash Legend were to retain the titles, but I would much rather see Bayley and Lyra get that WrestleMania moment.
Agreed. Especially because Bayley, I feel like she still hasn't been given the credit that she deserves. Like, kind of like Natalya, you know, where these wrestlers have been doing so much for just WWE for so long, and they've been at the top at times, but I don't know. I feel like they just deserve so much more even still. You know? But like next up, you had maybe like a main event of WrestleMania with a victory, you know? Next up, you had Penta pick the victory over Dragon Lee to retain the championship, which was, I mean, there was a lot of speculation because Adam Pearce was talking to McDonough backstage about how Dirty Dom can't compete and he's replacing him, and JD was putting up a fight to the point where maybe it could have been him stepping up to that open challenge against Penta, but it ended up being Dragon Lee. And I'll tell you, I'm very happy it was Dragon Lee, because this match was my favorite match of the night.
I thought JD would have interrupted the match. I'm glad that didn't happen. I also thought we would get a heel or somebody from AAA to answer that challenge, but I was very, very happy with this match. Penta again spoke before the match, but this was great. The outside stuff was absolutely insane. Dragon Lee's sell of the Destroyer I thought was great. He flew into the ropes from that and like passed out or whatever. I thought that was awesome. This was fantastic. And then
I agree.
Later on, Javon Evans met up with Dragon Lee, and then Kofi Kingston showed up. Kofi took a shot at Dragon Lee, and Javon ends up turning Kofi's offer down. He's not joining the New Day. And Grayson Waller showed up. Danhausen showed up too and said that he could replace Xavier Woods for right now. And then because they turned him down, Danhausen went to curse Kofi Kingston. Kofi pulled Grayson Waller in front of the curse. And I thought that was just like one of the funniest segments I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, this was hilarious. And the way that
Waller.
Yeah, Waller got pulled right in between there. That was just hilarious. Everything that they're doing with Danhausen has been exactly what we hoped.
He got a cannon this week.
Yeah, the cannon and he, like the everything. it was just incredible, and he's so over, and compared to everybody that booed him that on that debut.
But I don't think, again, though, he wasn't, I don't think he was booed per se. It only sounded like boos happened when the lights went out. When the segment ended.
I mean, even still, to the people, even still on Twitter and whatever, you saw so many people were, oh, he's, of course, WWE's is 5 to 9 years behind, and he's not going to succeed, and this and that. I'm so happy that this is just being shoved
number
right in
their one
face
merch
right now.
Seller. They already got more merch of his coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Printing money.
That's for sure. Next up, you had Natty pick of the victory over Maxine. And I thought that this was a good match. We did get to have a full conclusion of this matchup instead of the referee stoppage.
Right.
But I was happy to see Natty win to, you know, because we want to see the side of Natty. It sucks that Maxine gets a loss because I want to see her succeed very much so as well. But now I need to see what happens to Natty. Like right now, I do not want them to drop the ball with her character because it's that damn good.
Yeah. Well, part of me thought that Maxine was going to actually win this match. Somehow, I don't know. I think in reality, when you look at it, there was maybe no way she was going to be winning. But Natty worked on Maxine's leg throughout the match, and she won with the sharpshooter. But my favorite spot of this match was that first rear naked choke that Natty locked on. I thought that was great. So,
yeah, I totally agree with you.
Where we go next with Natty, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Because if Becky Lynch is going to walk out of WrestleMania as the Intercontinental Champion, I don't know. The fans aren't going to cheer Natty. They're not going to cheer Becky. So I don't know.
I think that putting Natty has to be in a position right now that she just goes on a streak and just tears up everybody. And then I would put her in the title scene, but I wouldn't necessarily put her in the title scene right now. I need her to get win after win after win, just like what we saw with Shayna Baszler. You know, I want to see that sort of a streak, but then capitalize on Natty.
Well, after that match, we had an interview from SmackDown superstar Randy Orton. Grainy as hell. Wi-Fi was acting crazy. He was talking to someone we don't know. And then he canceled the interview with Michael Cole, and he said he spoke to someone who made him understand that he did what he did to Cody Rhodes because he's the legend killer. I believe that's what he said, something like that. And he ended it by saying that wrestling has more than one royal family. I don't know who he'd be talking to. Storyline fit would be Ted DiBiase Jr.
No way were you going to say those.
What do you mean?
I said Ted DiBiase Jr. as a joke.
I mean, storyline-wise, they would fit. I don't think Ted DiBiase, I just saw something with the judge not like dismissing his case or something, so I don't think it'll be him.
Yeah, he's going to be kind of booked for a little bit.
There's potential to be, given how close Cody Rhodes is with Arn Anderson, it's potentially Arn Anderson. So.
Okay. With Arn Anderson and Cody Rhodes, I could. But why with Randy?
Why not? Randy Orton, I think, is one of the greatest multi-generational superstars of all time.
Yeah, but why Arn Anderson?
Because of how close he is to Cody. I don't know.
Yeah, but
who are you
can't
throwing
see
out
Arn
there?
Anderson.
Who are you going to throw out there? Yeah. Be like, why so-and-so?
I can't see Arn Anderson.
Okay, who are you throwing out there then?
I threw out Ted DiBiase Jr. as a joke.
Okay, you're not throwing out jokes. Who's the non-joke answer?
Puh, brother. You know we're going to be here for 5 minutes just for me to create a name.
Earlier in the night, we had a video of Liv Morgan play, and she opens it by ripping up a Finn Balor t-shirt. She said this was her plan since she joined the Judgment Day. She always knew when he was lying. She could see how fake Finn Balor was at times, and she put over how much stronger the group is now without him in it. I thought this was a good video. So, we didn't see any Finn Balor yet.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
I thought this was a solid promo. Very entertaining. I thought it was a strong one. I thought it was good that it was a pre-taped segment with Liv Morgan. I thought it was really good. Next up, you had Stephanie Vaquer pick up the victory over Raquel Rodriguez. This was a good match, too. It was fun. It was entertaining. It did exactly what it had to.
I thought Raquel was good in this match. Not to say Stephanie Vaquer wasn't, but this didn't scream WrestleMania.
Agreed.
Liv Morgan, definitely
don't think that this is WrestleMania, but
like Liv,
it was a Monday Night Raw.
Liv got up on the apron, yeah, but we're in WrestleMania season building to Liv Morgan versus Stephanie Vaquer. What did Liv do? She got up on the apron, Raquel's able to take Vaquer down, and then Io ran down to go after Liv Morgan. I didn't understand why Io was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Raquel attacked her. Vaquer took out Raquel and Liv Morgan. Raquel went for that Tejana bomb, and Stephanie Vaquer rolled through to pin her. But this, to me, this doesn't build to Stephanie Vaquer, the champion, going into WrestleMania versus Liv Morgan, the Royal Rumble winner.
I mean, it gets Raquel Rodriguez out of the direct picture, I feel, as a roadblock for Stephanie Vaquer.
I don't think she was a roadblock in this.
She'll be at WrestleMania.
I mean, she'll be ringside at WrestleMania.
She's a roadblock in the sense that she's there as interference on the way to WrestleMania versus Vaquer going against
Liv. I think she could still be there at WrestleMania as interference.
She could, but I think that this covers it going into it.
Closing Monday Night Raw had Roman Reigns call out CM Punk, and CM Punk, man, came out slow as hell, maybe 1 minute less than The Undertaker's entrance. Literally went around the whole ring to slap hands with everybody, just basically rubbing in Roman Reigns' face, it seemed. And this segment was, I think, better than we've seen. We got a Samoa Joe name drop sort of here. CM Punk brought up last week with the Usos, and he said
that was
that
a total name drop with him.
He said that he deserved what he got. So we got some sort of closure there, but he questioned who the real tribal chief is. CM Punk then wouldn't let Roman Reigns leave, and Roman Reigns looked like a little, what do we say there? What word do we fill in there?
Ooh, you know, there's select words, and he's definitely was one of them.
And Roman Reigns said that nothing CM Punk can do or say will faze him. He's the main event. He's been the main event. Roman also called CM Punk old, and that's when CM Punk dropped him.
Yeah, and can't dispute that. And I'm going to say it, but with that promo that they cut earlier in the night, with Roman Reigns and the Usos backstage, it seemed to me like they're going to build Roman Reigns as the face versus CM Punk after that entire comment that he made about his father and everything, CM Punk. I mean, backstage, and then Roman Reigns brought up his, like, how people call him a part-timer, but gave such a valid, like a legit, valid response as to why he is a part-timer. Bringing up to the Usos how him and their fathers and his father were not really around because they were on the road so often, and now he doesn't want that to be how his children are brought up, and that's why he's a part-timer, is because he's a family man. He's with his child and his children and his wife. I thought that that was such a great comeback to anybody that says that about Roman Reigns right now, that he's a part-timer, which has been the biggest dispute for Roman Reigns for so long.
Yeah, it only took them 9 years for them to come up with that.
Right? It took so long, but that's such a great reason, because they didn't grow up with their dads at their events and stuff like that, and they want to be different.
Also,
I thought that was perfect, but... That was perfect.
Also, I'm curious. I forget what the exact line was, but I'm curious to see if we get more Samoans from outside of WWE at WrestleMania.
Uh-oh. Just fuel the speculation that we had, what, 2 years ago? With every single Samoan on the block could potentially appear at WrestleMania?
It just seemed like it was leading to WrestleMania 26 with all the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could see Zilla. Maybe we'll see Lance. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. It seemed like there was going to be outside interference, but outside involvement, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Monday Night Raw. Moving over to NXT.
Kicking off with JC Jane picking up a victory over Sol Ruka and Zarya to retain her championship. And I am very happy that JC Jane picked up the victory, because I feel like JC Jane, over the course of the last year, JC Jane has been probably top five or higher female pro wrestlers within, I think, overall, I would say, within every promotion. I think that JC Jane has solidified herself within at least the top five with everything that she's been doing. And I would even say top three women's division in WWE.
I think this was a fun match. Sol Ruka, though, was very much so the most over in this match. But I thought it was a really well-worked triple threat match.
I agree.
I liked when JC Jane threw Sol Ruka into Zarya's spear. But Sol Ruka, knowing Zarya, jumped over, and Zarya ends up taking out JC Jane with the spear. And then Sol hit Zarya with the spear to take her down. I liked the unique Tower of Doom spot. Sol Ruka hit the Soul Snatcher on JC Jane, almost gets the victory there. But Zarya pulls her out of the ring. She hits the F5. Fatal Influence get involved. That distracts Zarya. She doesn't see that JC Jane, just like with the last ounce of energy, covered Sol Ruka.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great ending.
I agree with you. Very solid.
But now I don't know where that leads to. I think Sol Ruka told Robert Stone she needs to speak to Zarya next week, so we're getting some sort of talking segment. I assume we're going to get some sort of like street fight or something between the two of them at Stand and Deliver.
That's what I would do. I would say Sol Ruka and Zarya stand and deliver. JC Jane, I don't know what would be next for JC Jane.
I think we already know. I believe it's not official or anything, but I believe it would be Kendall Gray. She specifically said that she gave up the Evolve Championship. I think we're going to see Kendall Gray face JC Jane for that title at Stand and Deliver.
Okay.
I think. After that match, we saw Ricky Saints come out, and he spoke about him and Ethan Page, and he said that he's going to become champion, and Ethan Page came out and reminded Ricky Saints that he was the one that won last week, and Saints said that he'll let Ethan Page call Miles Bourne out to get another North American Championship match, and he's like, I don't want to be two-time North American champion, I want to be two-time champion. And then Joe Hendry came out and he spoke about Ethan Page beating him. And he said maybe Ricky Saints just doesn't have, or not have what it takes. He doesn't want it as bad, I think he said. And he brought up Ricky Saints facing Ethan Page last year. at Stand and Deliver, and this caused them to argue, but then it seemed like they were faking it, and they jumped Joe Hendry. But Joe Hendry ends up taking them down, and then ultimately Tony D'Angelo showed up and took all of them out. And then Ethan Page and Ricky Saints yelled at Robert Stone later on. Page said that Ricky Saints wants Tony D'Angelo in a one-on-one match, which Robert Stone made the match. Ricky Saints clearly didn't want that match, so I thought that was really funny. And I assume that Ricky Saints will repay Ethan Page for that. But I don't know. I assume this has to lead to a fatal four-way at Stand and Deliver.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Next up, you had El Grande Americano and Los Americanos pick the victory over the Vanity Project.
Over big time were Los Americanos.
Yeah.
I think both teams had moments to shine in this match, but Americano got the victory here, and I was satisfied with this match.
I agree with you. I'm happy that Americanos got the victory on there. I was kind of surprised, though, but because the Vanity Project, I feel like they were building, so I'm surprised that they got the loss, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, they're not being built. They're literally the tag team champions right now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're the tag team champions. They're building them, and then that, though.
And Jackson Drake this week was his last match in Evolve. He lost the Evolve Championship to Aaron Rourke, so he does not get to go out on top in Evolve.
Nah. But next up, you had a Booker T appreciation night. Did they even announce that they were doing this?
Yes, they did. And I specifically said, if you're doing Booker T appreciation night in Houston, Texas, you better have Stevie Ray there. And Stevie Ray was not there, but you had Charmel. His kids were there, or their kids, I should say. He had students from his school. They played a video package with Shawn Michaels, Vic Joseph, Jasper Troy, Joe Hendry, Stone Cold, which was old footage, JC Jane, Stephanie Vicaire, Trick Williams, The Miz, The Usos, Roxanne Perez. They were all talking about Booker T, putting him over. There was a plaque, Booker T crying, thanked the fans, and Keanu Carver interrupted, took out all the guys from Reality of Wrestling. And then Jasper Troy ran down and they brawled. After the brawl, the locker room came out to clap for Booker T, and Booker T cut off the music to yell at Robert Stone. So it obviously sets up Keanu Carver versus Jasper Troy at some point. I don't know if they made that for next week. I don't remember, but
I thought that it was weird because it was good, but then they cut to the, like, at the very end, after Jasper Troy came out and made the save and everything like that, when they were doing the celebration, I guess, with the rest of the people on the stage, and Jasper Troy holding the hand of Booker T and doing the hand raise together and stuff, they had a picture-in-picture commercial where you couldn't hear anything taking place. You saw Booker T and Jasper Troy holding hands and raising it and stuff like that, but
did they have entrances for Ren Sinclair and Fallon Henley, or...
So they did,
because they would have been out there for the clap part.
No, so they did for Ren Sinclair. They did for so, but it was like she was already halfway down the. No, yeah, they did a entrance for Ren Sinclair, I think, but it was during a commercial break too.
Well, right, because when we came back, it was already the speed match.
Yeah, I think that what was it? Fallon Henley was, I think, already in the ring, but Ren Sinclair had an actual entrance.
So we had the speed championship on the line. Ren Sinclair picked up the victory over Fallon Henley to win that speed championship. I was surprised that they come closer to Ren the final Sinclair, seconds.
Yeah.
I think there was like a minute and a half of the match left. Fallon Henley tapped out to the final wrench. I think it's awesome to see Ren Sinclair win the championship. I'm glad that she's finally a champion in WWE. I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan of Ren Sinclair. I've wanted to see her in more and more matches, so I'm very happy. I think this, though, just leads to maybe maybe we're nearing the end of Fatal Influence, Or maybe they just all go up to the main roster together.
I don't think we're going to be near the end of them.
I would hope not. I like Fatal Influence. I would really like to see them go up to the main roster together. Maybe we see Fallon and Lainey Reed in the tag division.
They I don't think that they're actually going to separate them, because I think it was last week or the week before that. It could have been a while ago, but you had the unity between the three of them, where they each brought up how
they all took. It seems like they took shots at JC Jane.
I don't know.
I don't know. You that could seemed say, like they were taking
you
shots.
You could
at
say
JC
it that way. That like, I yes, that's true. But the thing, okay, so I do agree with you, and you know what segment I'm talking about. But the thing is, during that segment, JC Jane didn't react in a, like, surprised or shocked or...
She can't react like that.
Uh-huh. All right. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Next up, you had Birthright pick of the victory over Hank and Tank to advance. Birthright. Jeez. They're going to just continue to get stronger and stronger.
We know, by the way, we know in that tag team tournament that was set up that Sean Legacy was injured in that match the other week, so he's out. So Eli Knight will be teaming up with Elio LaFleur. He stepped in. He's like, well, we're going to have a tournament regardless to get my next contender, so I could stand in right now and tag with you. So we're going to see them as a team. I would assume that we would see them versus Birthright in the finals. I don't know if that'll necessarily happen, but I can't see Birthright losing.
Mm-hmm.
Something big would have to happen to like counter Birthright. I don't know what that would be, but as far as this match goes, we saw Ariana Grace get involved. Tank at one point took out Lexus King and Charlie Dempsey. And I think, honestly, Hank and Tank really controlled most of this match. I don't want to say this was a good match for Birthright at all. So,
yeah.
And then Lexus King got in the ring. They took him out. Stax wasn't legal when they took him out, so Connors ends up making the pin there to get the victory there. I believe Lexus King... What was the backstage segment with him? Is there going to be something with the North American Championship?
I don't remember.
I forget if that's like a thing with him. I something like that. So maybe Birthright will be a big thing on the show coming up. I don't know. And then we saw the brawl between Dark State and OTM continue backstage. Dark State was on top this time. I don't know where that leads. I would have assumed it would lead to a tag match between the two teams. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to lead to, but...
Color James was still out, I guess, from his injury. So it was only three
on
two.
I want to see more, and I want to see more from OTM. Dark State, I think, needs to continue to get their feet wet, but OTM has been there for a little bit of time. I think that they have a great appearance and everything. I want to see something happen at some point soon. But next up, in the main event of the evening, you had Tatum Paxley successfully defend against Izzy Dame in a cage match. This match, the both of them, they have really good chemistry together.
Yeah. And I thought this was good. The match, before the match even, Izzy Dame attacked Tatum Paxley outside of the cage. I liked them fighting on top of the cage. I liked at one point when Tatum Paxley got knocked down on the top of the cage. She did that like Undertaker sit up.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we previously saw when she did the casket match with Wendy Chu. But Izzy Dame superplexed Tatum Paxley from the top of the cage. We got the kip-up spot again from the Codebreaker. But this time, Izzy Dame was ready for it. I thought that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then she beat Tatum Paxley down with a chair that she had gotten into the ring before the match started. She powerbombed Tatum Paxley into the cage a few times, but then Tatum Paxley reversed it with a sunset flip onto the chair and then eventually hit Cemetery Drive to get the victory there. I was a big fan of this match. I'm very happy, like I said the other week, that Tatum Paxley's a champion again. And then I feel like the ending kind of fell flat for me. The ending of NXT, we had her up at the ramp celebrating. Triple H loves those, like, last second what's going to happen sort of things. I wasn't expecting anything to happen, but Blake Monroe pops up out of the stage. She drags Tatum Paxley down, and that was it. Drags her to hell, perhaps.
Yeah. It was good.
I don't necessarily need to see Blake Monroe versus Tatum Paxley. I don't need to see Blake Monroe lose to Tatum Paxley. I don't need to see Tatum Paxley lose to Blake Monroe.
I think that I don't want to see Blake Monroe lose either.
Well, do you want to see Tatum lose? Because that's where it seems like it'll head.
I don't want to see that either. I feel like Tatum. I feel like Tatum needs to hold it.
Yeah.
I feel like Tatum needs to hold it a little bit longer, unlike AJ Lee. I think Tatum Paxley has to hold it a little bit longer. But then on the other hand, with Blake Monroe, I want to see her utilized in that sort of a role too.
I would, in a perfect
would
world...
Would you just bring up Blake you bring Monroe up AJ at some point Lee again, soon? Though. Like after Mania?
You bring up AJ Lee. In a perfect world, AJ Lee would have more open challenges before WrestleMania. Now I don't think that'll happen. But what did you say?
Do you think that after WrestleMania, do you think, because of everything happening with NXT, do you think that Blake Monroe can be a potential night after Raw?
I don't think...
Call-up?
I don't think so.
I feel like she could definitely do good on the main roster, and I feel like...
I think she needs to do better on NXT first. And I'm not saying she's bad on NXT or anything. I just think... I think we need to see it centered around her before she goes up to the main roster.
Okay. All right. I mean, it could always spin into her gimmick and stuff like that, too, about her... going places and yada yada, but I mean, on the other hand, me and you talk about it, like, this women's division on NXT, it's such a stacked division, and I don't think that they get enough credit at times from the fan bases, but the women on NXT are just, they're standouts.
But we need more tag team matches, we need more tag teams. There's like, it's non-existent at this point for the most part, and the women's tag team championships, when they were unified, they're supposed to be traveling from brand to brand to brand. It's very far and few in between that we see them on NXT. So that is NXT moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with a car crash, and we see some action. You got Drew McIntyre beating the absolute heck out of Jacob Fatu. McIntyre went to the ring, and then Nick Aldis yelled at him. Jacob Fatu showed up. They continued their brawl. That happened throughout the night, but Jacob Fatu ends up running and splashing Drew McIntyre through the commentary table. After that, the first match of SmackDown saw the Judgment Day. Damian Priest and R-Truth pick up the victory over the MFT to become the new tag team champions. Literally everybody in this match cheated. R-Truth cheated first. Tonga Loa and Tala Tonga cheated shortly after that. The Wyatt Six showed up during the match, and all of that led to R-Truth getting the title. Solo Sikoa was pissed off and blamed the MFT for losing the titles. Tama Tonga was like, just give the lantern back. They know it was the Wyatt Six that cost them the titles. And Tama Tonga was like, you're starting to sound like Roman here. Yeah, the Motor City Machine Guns pick up the victory over Fraxium. I think the sequence that went into that Brainbuster and Super Kick combo was like a bit unnecessary. It was flashy, but I don't think it was needed. And like the last match, both teams seemed to be in the ring without the referee caring much. Candice LeRae showed up during the match. She punched Nathan Fraser. When the referee couldn't see, that led to Chris Sabin rolling Fraser up to get the victory there. You had Randy Orton come out and speak about the fans and how giving back to the fans put a smile on his face. But he said that's the emptiest feeling he's had in his life. And he doesn't want that to be his legacy. He wants his legacy to be all the championships that he's had around his waist. And he said that he listened to voices last week because he needs that He needs the killer instinct to get that championship. Backstage, Randy Orton was walking by. He passed Los Garza and Fénix. They scurried off. He passed Apollo Crews and Matt Cardona. Crews left. Cardona confronted Orton and asked him what that was last week. Obviously, he's friends with Cody. And Randy Orton trashes Matt Cardona and ends up knocking him down. And then Matt Cardona went to Nick Aldis, tried to get a match with Randy Orton. Nick Aldis said no. And then later on, Randy Orton had a segment with Jelly Roll. Before Jelly Roll even spoke to Randy Orton, really, Randy Orton apologized for last week. And then Jelly Roll gave him a pep talk. I don't think that's going to do anything. We had Aleister Black pick up the victory over Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn had words with Trick Williams earlier. So Trick Williams came out to watch the match. People were booing Sami Zayn in this match, and they were cheering and chanting for Trick Williams. Trick threw a drink at Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn, about to get counted out, goes to tease like he's getting back in the ring, turns around, starts beating down Trick Williams. Almost gets counted out, gets back just in time, boom, eats a black mass. Yet Jade Cargill come out, instantly calls out Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley said she doesn't want to talk anymore. Jade Cargill said that Rhea needs the title. She doesn't need the title. She doesn't need the fans. She doesn't need anybody there. Rhea needs it. And then Rhea Ripley said that since that title has been around Jade's waist, it's needed her. She also challenged Jade to hit her. Jade went to leave. And then Mia Yim and B-Fab showed up, walked Jade back towards the ring. And man, oh man, I knew it. I think it's been building for quite some time. I thought for sure it was just going to be B-Fab. I didn't expect it to be Mia Yim as well, but both of them attacked Rhea Ripley. You had Carmelo Hayes pick up the victory over Ilya Dragunov to retain the U.S. Championship. Dragunov was fired up during this like he got his groove back. That was great to see. Some of this was absolutely wild. Like that dive from Carmelo Hayes to the outside, he just literally hit the commentary table. I like that spot where Carmelo Hayes hit Dragunov with the first 48 as a counter. And then Dragunov hit an H-bomb. Melo gets his foot on the rope. I think they just have killer chemistry. Carmelo Hayes hit another first 48 to counter a Torpedo Moscow. He missed nothing but net. Dragunov hits the Torpedo Moscow. But he went for a powerbomb. Carmelo Hayes rolled through and got the pin. I thought this was a great match. And then you had a segment with Kit Wilson. He called out Jelly Roll. Before that, backstage, Miz told him he had to go out there on his own and do this. Danhausen tried to go out there with them and be his muscle. But Miz wants nothing to do with Danhausen. A ladder fell on Miz. Miz doesn't believe in the curses. But this segment with Jelly Roll came out, demanded for a referee to come down for a match to start right then and there. And Kit Wilson was like, I don't fight with my fists. I fight with my words. Like a civilized gentleman. Slam poetry. And Kit Wilson did not like the rebuttal that Jelly Roll had. So he ends up attacking Jelly Roll. Actually comes out on top there. Was not expecting that at all. But Jelly Roll spoke to Nick Aldis. He's like, I want Kit Wilson in a match, and Nick Aldis set up a match, Jelly Roll versus Kit Wilson on SmackDown next week. But I have to assume it's leading to a tag match, which I'm completely fine with. I assume Jellyhausen versus Miz and Kit Wilson at WrestleMania. The main event saw Nia Jax and Lash Legend pick up the victory over the Bella Twins via disqualification to retain the tag team championships. Charlexa showed up during the match. I think the actual match went how you would expect this to go. But Nia Jax went to hit Brie Bella with the championship. Charlotte got involved to prevent that. And then they all brawled. The champions came out on top. And then you have Randy Orton backstage getting a phone call saying he's going to go to the ring. He's got to fix it. He came out shaking hands with kids and he called Matt Cardona out to apologize, which he did. They hugged it out, and then Randy Orton low-blowed him, dropped him with an RKO. tried to do what he did to Cody last week. That was stopped. But he continued the beatdown in the ring. Security stopped that again. And nobody in that moment thought to take Matt's arm from the chair. And Randy Orton breaks free, stomps it. And in all of that commotion, you go backstage outside. Jacob Fatu, Drew McIntyre brawling. They both fall off of a platform and Nick Aldis sends medical. That's the end of SmackDown. So that is SmackDown. Going to take a quick little break and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
Hey, it's Cassidy Pope and you're listening to Markin' Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out episode 789. Moving over to Rey de Reyes. It kicked off with Rey Fénix welcoming everybody there. He said there was going to be a lot of surprises. He hyped it up. He brought out Penta. Fénix went to leave, and Penta was like, no, 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 no. Stay in the ring. And he brought up how they almost teamed up in December, and then he teased the Lucha Bros reunion, maybe a Triple Mania. He also announced that he'll defend the Intercontinental Championship in AAA, which I'm looking forward to. The first match kicked off an open challenge. Flammer picked up the victory over Bayley. I definitely said victory weird over there, but this is exactly what I wanted. I was happy to get Bayley there as the open challenger. The crowd was went absolutely insane for Bayley. Like a huge pop for Bayley. Flammer at one point ripped the turnbuckle pad off. Bayley hits the Bayley to belly. Flammer kicked out. Flammer reversed the rose plant. Los Toxicas got involved. And Flammer sent Bayley into the exposed turnbuckle. That got her the win. And now she broke Taya Valkyrie's 945-day reign record for the Reina de Reinas championship. I don't know who's going to dethrone her, but we'll find out eventually. You had El Grande Americano pick up the victory over Santos Escobar, El Grande Americano Original, and La Parca to win the Rey de Reyes. I liked the video package that they aired beforehand. No Jeff Jarrett in it, though. But this was a fun match, and honestly, it really could have gone either way. I would have been surprised if Original won, but if La Parca or Santos Escobar or El Grande Americano, if they were to win as well, I would have been perfectly fine with that. Santos Escobar apparently worked that match injured. He has to go have surgery now. Or had surgery. But the submission spot from both Americanos I thought was good. And then the pin spot with Escobar I thought was great. La Parca hit the Spanish Fly on Original. And then Escobar hit La Parca with a super kick at the same time, midair. I thought that was a great spot. That was awesome. I liked how both Americanos loaded up their masks at the same time. They went for La Parca. They knocked themselves down. And they brawled into the crowd. Escobar grabbed a chair. La Parca ducked that. And he went for the moonsault. Escobar moved out of the way. And then he was able to use the chair. Los Americanos cuffed the Original to the bar in the crowd. So that took him out of the match. El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. showed up. He stopped Escobar from using the chair again. And then Americano got the victory there. But it was really weird that commentary didn't mention Dr. Wagner like being there. It almost seemed like they had no idea who it was. And then only afterwards did they mention that it was El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. And they were like, he's wearing Escobar's old mask, which I don't think he was wearing an Escobar mask at all. It just looked like a Wagner mask to me. The main event saw Dominic Mysterio pick up the victory over Vikingo in a Lucha de Apuestas. No DQ match to retain the championship. Pretty early on, Vikingo threw a chair right at Dominic's head, which busted him the absolute heck open. Maybe he didn't get the memo, but Dom apparently was under concussion protocol, like we discussed earlier on Monday Night Raw. Couldn't make Monday Night Raw. So that's unfortunate. But, man, that spot led to some gross stuff. Vikingo started biting Dom. He licked the blood. That was absolutely disgusting. Dorian Roldan got involved, and Dom pushed him down. And then Roldan waved out Omos. He prevented Dominic from using the garbage can, and he threw it at him, and then Roldan gave Vikingo the championship. He put it on to hit a frog splash, but he missed. Dom moved out of the way. That was, I liked that title spot there. I feel like that's like a practical use for the championship. Almost ends up catching Dom 619. He chokeslammed him onto the apron. He ate another chokeslam in the ring. And he sent Vikingo back to the top rope. And then Mini Vikingo showed up. And he took Vikingo down. And then Omos grabbed Mini Vikingo. Dom low blowed Omos. He took him out. And then he took Vikingo out with a chair. He hit the 619, he hit the frog splash, got the victory. And now Vikingo can't challenge Dominic for the AAA Mega Championship again. This was a lot of fun. And we have two more weeks of Rey de Reyes. Moving over to TNA Impact, we had Hometown Man pick up the victory over Frankie Kazarian. Hometown Man controlled a bit more of this match than I expected him to. AJ Francis showed up during the match to do commentary, and then ends up mentioning Cody Deaner, so I don't know if that's going to eventually like lead to an unmasking soon or why they would even bring that up. But AJ Francis got up from commentary, so Hometown Man, instead of diving out onto, not diving out, but diving to Frankie Kazarian, he dove outside of the ring to take out AJ Francis. And then Kaz distracted the referee. AJ Francis got involved again, but he got the upper hand. Somehow pinned Frankie Kazarian. I was not expecting that. And then the lights went out. AJ Francis and Frankie Kazarian are already attacking Hometown Man. Elijah showed up and attacked AJ Francis with the guitar. He was aiming for Frankie Kazarian. That sets up a tag team match for Sacrifice. You had Mr. Elegance make his in-ring debut, picking up the victory over Mike Jackson. Jackson doing what he was doing at his age, I think, is absolutely wild. But this was similar to the last match. In that, like, the unexpected person controlled most of the match. Mike Jackson controlled most of this. Mr. Elegance, though, came back, gets the victory. I personally don't think this was a great debut match for him. Because it to me, it showcased Jackson more so. I liked the pin that he did, though. I thought that was a unique, nice touch. At the same time, I understand it's like you kind of want to, I don't know. I could understand why they did what they did there, but I would have liked to have seen more of a showcase match for Mr. Elegance. The personal concierge afterwards was going to have Em and Heather help to teach Mike Jackson a lesson. And then ODB came out. She made the save. She ends up using a chair to take him out. And then they spilled barbecue food on Mr. Elegance. But I think it's fun to have ODB back on TV there. The next match, kind of puzzling. You had Ariana Grace and Danny Luna pick up the victory over the Angel Warriors. This was made because of what Ariana Grace did last week to Indy Hartwell. But Danny Luna has a title shot. Lei Ying Li has a rematch. Santino pitched this and then also set up a triple threat for Sacrifice. I really didn't understand why this took place, though. They had some good back and forth. It was pretty even. Lee took Stacks out at one point. Danny Luna overpowered Zaya Brookside. She got the pin off of that. I feel like Danny Luna has to be the next champion. I don't know if that's happening at Sacrifice or what, but I feel like she should be the next champion. You had Leon Slater come out. He spoke about what Eric Young did to him a few weeks ago and how in the first time in his career, in his life, he had doubt that he'd get up again. And then he fired up. He spoke about how the X Division's not broken, but he'll break Eric Young. You had Moose pick up the victory over Brian Myers. Santino came out beforehand. He's like, wait a minute. The system, I don't know why you're still out here. You know you're supposed to be banned from ringside. Get the hell out of here. And Brian Myers, distracted by the system leaving, The bell rings. He turns around. Spear, 1, 2, 3. And the system wasn't even fully gone yet, which is kind of funny, but that's number 2 on his list of the system. Moose is working his way through them. You had Rosemary. She and Allie met up again. Rosemary gave Allie her gear. They met up with Raven, who, I don't know, kind of did some like bad comedy shtick. I felt that it was kind of like, I don't know, flat 90s. I don't know how else to describe it, but he gave some of Tommy Dreamer's blood to Rosemary. She's working on something. What? I don't know. I guess maybe resurrecting the bunny, perhaps. We'll see what happens next. Maybe Father James Mitchell is coming out soon. I don't know. You had Elena Black pick up the victory over Jada Stone. Mara Sade did commentary. I think Jada Stone, though, is really fun to watch in the ring. Tasha Steele's got involved. Stone was able to continue on Elena Black. But at one point, the referee checked on Elena Black and Jada Stone went for a move. Tasha Steele pulled her arms out. That led to Elena Black getting the victory off of that. And then after the match, Elena Black and Mara Sade argued. Security separated them, so nothing happened there. And then Order 4 surrounded the ring. Trey Miguel ran down with a chair and they backed off. So that sets up a mixed tag match for Sacrifice between Trey Miguel, Jada Stone, and Order 4. I believe, I would assume it's Mustafa Ali and Tasha Steele's there. I forget though. After that, the Nemeth brothers picked up the victory over the Righteous. I feel like the referee didn't do anything to clear the ring when the illegal partners were in the ring. But there were a lot of moments of this match where I thought the match would be over, and then it just kept going. Nick, at one point, pulled Dutch off the apron and then sent him into the steps. Vincent grabbed Nick Nemeth. Ryan accidentally knocks Nick off the apron, but Nick somehow is still out there able to pop Vincent in the head. Ryan gets the victory off of that. I don't know if that's like a number one contender match or what, if the Nemeths are going to be facing the Hardy Boys or what, but we might be seeing that. And then Impact closed. You had Mike Santana and Steve Maclin with a face-to-face. This was a location off-site from Impact that I believe Steve Maclin picked, and Maclin spoke about his time in the military, and then Mike Santana's like, you use your past as an excuse. I use mine as a superpower. And he said, you're welcome for the job. Alluding to the only reason why Maclin being hired back or reinstated is because of him. I don't know if this was a strong segment to close Impact with, especially to go to Sacrifice, especially when you know there's so much bad blood between the two of them. They're just not going to brawl. To me, that doesn't make sense. But that is TNA Impact. Hey, Brennan, got any shout-outs?
Damn it, Bobby. How many times do I have to tell you to listen to Brandon's shout-outs?
Zootopia 2 is out now on Disney+, so I was finally able to watch that. Did you see any of these movies or no?
I did start to watch the first one, but I think I fell asleep.
I didn't really care about Zootopia, but I figured I should watch it. And then as far as this one goes, I didn't think the trailers did this movie its justice. I thought this was much better than the trailers showed off. And I thought the sequel was much better than the first one. Still, like, just okay. But it had a lot of things that I popped for. And I also forgot that like Roman Reigns and CM Punk were in this. So, like...
How did you forget that?
It's not like... I didn't forget it, but, like... When they popped up in the film, I was like, oh, right, of course, I forgot that they were in this, like one of those things. So, like, also the attraction at Animal Kingdom now makes more sense. I'm glad to have watched Zootopia 2. I would recommend it. I'm sure many people have already seen it. If you haven't, I would say check it out. My next shout-out goes to Rental Family. Have you heard about this film or no?
Is that the one with...
Brendan Fraser, yes.
Fraser? Yeah, I actually wanted to see that. That looked pretty good.
It's on Hulu now. He's a struggling actor in Japan, and he joins an agency who rents out actors to play family, friends, etc. for clients. Very heartwarming. I enjoy this movie.
Heart, is it like a, because when I saw the preview and stuff, I thought it was going to be a sad movie.
What is heartwarming to you?
Like a feel-good movie?
Isn't that, I mean, there's sadness, there's happiness, there's drama, there's comedy.
Yeah, heartwarming to me is like, it's really sweet and stuff like that.
I guess
we can assume that it's going to have a happy ending.
Yeah, I think it fits. I think it fits there. I think that's a good word to describe this film.
I'm very happy to see with right now in Hollywood, I don't think anybody could say, but Brendan Fraser has had the best comeback that we have probably seen within Hollywood in a long time. I don't know anybody else that's come back into the spotlight and has won awards and shined and still won over the audiences.
I'm like debating, I feel like it's not a spoiler if I say this next part, but.
Wait, is it about the movie?
Yeah, but it's just like a scene in the film.
Oh, that, yeah, say it.
They were playing video games in one of the scenes. Sega Dreamcast. They were playing Giant Grand 2000 All Japan Pro Wrestling 2. I think one of the matches they played was definitely Giant Baba versus Kage Maru from Virtua Fighter. So it was really cool to see that included in that. But they actually rent people for stuff like this in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was like researching up on it. I think it said that it was it's I don't know if they said it started in the 1990s. But that's really crazy that people do that.
Yeah, it's a legit. So when I went to Japan, I didn't see this like anywhere. But going in, like I did do research and stuff like that. And of course, I would see on Instagram reels and everything. And yeah, it's a legit thing where you can rent a grandparent, like a grandma or a grandpa. You can rent a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You can rent a friend. You can rent a parent. It's really interesting. And some of these people, they are working through their own stuff, and some of them are retired.
It sounds like it's being described as heartwarming to you.
Yeah, I guess it is heartwarming, isn't it?
My last shout out goes, but still bizarre. But my last shout out goes to a new show on HBO called Rooster, starring Steve Carell as a best-selling author who. He gets a job at a college that his daughter also works at, but he took the job because he wants to support her. She's going through, I don't know if she's going through a divorce or what, but her husband ends up cheating on her. And like the whole campus basically finds out. It's going to be 10 episodes. I think there's only 3 out right now. John C. McGinley is also really funny on the show. I wish he was on Scrubs more, but I wish all the episodes for this were already out, because I would have 100% binged it already. I don't feel like waiting.
Exactly. That's what I'm so happy that...
I don't like waiting week after week for shows at this point anymore. I'm too old. And that's funny, because I'm tomorrow.
I'm totally okay with it not being out right now.
No, I could be gone tomorrow.
I love it.
But I wasn't talking about Scrubs in this instance. I was talking about Rooster, but also Scrubs at the same time, because I said that about
talking
Scrubs.
About the total opposite of heartwarming
is what,
Brandon?
What do you mean?
Doom and gloom
for who?
For you?
And what? Oh, because I could be gone tomorrow. That's how the world works. What do you mean?
Jeez.
But those are my shoutouts. Now it's time for our. That is right, our mark out moment of the week. Get it? Because last week you didn't think I did that, and then I said that we did it.
Uh-huh. I got you. Thank you.
I am going to go right off the bat and say that I probably me remembering that the Zebros were Punk and Roman Reigns for Zootopia 2. Also, The Rock is in That's Zootopia funny. 2, but it's like such a small, minor really? Role that you wouldn't even know that it was him. They pitch up his voice, if I'm not mistaken. So you like, there's literally 0% chance you would have known it was him. Maybe 0.1%.
That's interesting that it would be such a low percentage, especially because,
in my opinion, because it's not his voice. You can't hear his voice.
But it's him doing the voice.
Yeah,
no?
There are a ton of cameos in that film. Bob Iger plays a I believe he's a, is it Bob Tiger, if I'm not mistaken?
I would totally.
Michael J. Fox plays Michael J. Fox. I think that's funny.
That's awesome.
A lot of good cameos in that film. And also the seeing the Japanese wrestling game in Rental Family was a markout moment.
I'm sure.
How about yourself? You got any?
I marked out because I received a Mel Brooks autographed
trading
card. I purchased. I received in the mail. I'm very stoked for it. Ideal. It's not the ideal trading card. It's a robot's trading card. It's not ideal. It's not Spaceballs. It's not Young Frankenstein. It's not History of the World or all any of that. I get it. But for what it is, I will totally accept it, and especially as a seat filler until the one that I am looking for is out there, which it may never be out there. I mean, like Brandon said, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, now who's doom and gloom? I was doom and gloom during shoutouts. You're doing mark out moment.
Yeah.
Did you even say the name?
Of what?
The person. I don't think I never heard you say Mel Brooks.
Yeah, Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks.
You have any others?
You got it. I have to. You got
yes,
it.
Yes, I
it
understood
twice.
That. It was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody laughed.
Yeah. Any others that I have?
I will say
One Piece. I love that TV show.
What?
Yeah, One Piece.
Oh, you binge watched it.
I'm actually on the last episode.
Isn't that interesting?
I have to watch the last episode.
I'm actually glad you can't binge watch it.
And then you go ahead and binge watch this. So, like, I will say I marked out during the Oscars. I didn't watch the Oscars. I don't know who watches the Oscars.
Oh,
but
you marked out for Huntrix as well?
No, I did not. But,
oh, you know I did. I marked out for Huntrix. I marked out for Golden because that performance was incredible.
I will say it's a good song.
It was incredible.
But they
that
aired
performance
a,
was amazing.
They aired a Disney Cruise Line commercial, brand new, during the Oscars. And Jack Tomlinson from Creative Pro Wrestling is the adult kid at the end of the commercial. And I think that's a fantastic commercial. Pulls,
that's such a wild cameo.
Pulls at the strings. I don't know if I'd call that a cameo, per se.
Well, appearance?
I mean,
a booking.
But a booking. But the Disney commercials are always fantastic, but this, they just like, they knock it out of the park there, man.
Yeah.
I would
100% say I marked
out
for Conan O'Brien's opening, too.
Say it again?
Sorry, what was that?
I was going to say I would 100% go out and seek this commercial if you've not seen it yet.
Man, I just said I marked out also for Conan O'Brien, the opening to the Oscars.
I didn't see it.
With his throwback to weapons and stuff.
I don't know what weapons means. What does that mean?
It was the horror movie that
came
out.
Oh, is that the, was it Aunt Gladys
with the
or
kids?
Something?
Yeah.
Orange-haired woman?
Yeah, you didn't see this clip yet?
No, I saw them putting his makeup on for it, though, but he just looked like himself.
All right, I'll send it to you, or you watch it.
You'd
actually pop
for
it.
I really don't need to see it. I saw the...
I think that...
I saw the part with Jim Downey, where... I don't know if that aired as like a post-credit or what, but when they were like, oh, Conan, come into this room. You're going to be the host for life. And then they gas him or whatever. And they put him in an incinerator. That's kind of messed up, now that I'm saying that out loud. But they then show Mr. Beast is next, so...
Oh, jeez.
I mean, he's not Jewish, so maybe it doesn't.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know, man. It's kind of really bad when I hear that, but I didn't put two together until I said it.
Now that you're saying it out loud, it's like sounding worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, those are the markout moments of the week. That is episode 789. You can check us out on Twitter at MarkingOut, at BTDG161 on all platforms, Chris Sweendog, SteamSweeney85, DavidPTDPT, Facebook.com/MarkingOut, YouTube and Instagram are MarkingOut11, ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkingOut if you'd like to purchase some merchandise and support us like that. At MarkingOut on TikTok, you could rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio. They just signed a big deal with TNA Wrestling, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I saw that too.
YouTube, markingout.com, and we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.